Be'ez Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin Perek Arba'as, the 14th chapter in the Rambam, Sichas Ma'av Leibn, the laws of lending and the borrower and the safe Mishpat in the Book of Judgment. We are continuing the theme of the previous Perek, discussing the laws of collections of debts, and specifically in this Perek, discussing the laws of the claimant and the defendant regarding when there's a loan recorded in a document. As Rambam gets a lach alf regarding those who swear and then they collect. So Apoigim Eshtarit, even though there's a document. So if someone creates a deficiency in this document, how so? Let's say the document was recorded for 1,000 zuz, and the borrower claims he paid it all up. And the owner of the document says, no, you only paid up such and such. So it's already, wait a second, there's not a complete document over here. Oh, Isha'ed Echad made al Shtar Shupru. Oh, our single witness testifies regarding the document that it was paid up. Oh, Vahaboli Pareya Shalibifne Aleb, if someone's coming to collect when the borrower is not present. Oh, Vahatirith Miyad Alekech, if someone's coming to collect from the ones who bought from the borrower, which is the collateral assets. Or someone's coming to collect from the inheritors, whether it's being cut and being gadol, whether it's an adult or a minor. The halacha is lo yipareya el b'shvu. Could only collect with a oath, kein shel Torah, like that of a biblical oath. And the reason for that is because had the borrower claimed in front of us that, swear to me that you didn't collect yet, we would make the guy swear. And therefore, in these situations, when he's not around, or when he's not around because he's dead, or because we're sold off to Yerushim or Lekuchas, we make the one with the document swear. We tell him when he's coming to claim, first swear and then collect this document. Now, if let's say the debt was for a certain time, and he collects in that time, then he could collect without an oath because No, there's a chazakah, there's a presumption no one paid up before the time expired, and it wasn't yet that time. He's just coming right now. Avir's man, on the other hand, if it's already past the time, like Vel Bishwi, he can only collect with an oath again, because maybe he did pay, he would have claimed I paid, and therefore then he would have to swear. Halacha beis, hatateyas chaved lafarei. Someone's claiming from his friend to pay him up. Now the borrower claims either he paid up the whole document, or he paid up part of it. The person that's coming with the document says, you didn't pay up anything. So the courts tell the borrower, shalom loy, you have to pay him up. Now, when the borrower is in front of us, the courts don't make the lender take an oath, only if the borrower makes such a claim. And that's the difference between the halacha of the previous halacha, pogim shtari, when it's not pogim. When it's pogim, even if the borrower is in front of us and he doesn't claim yeshavali, we claim for him and we make the lender take an oath. But if it's not pogim, if he makes such a claim, we make him take an oath. If not, we tell the borrower, go ahead and pay. Now, Toyna Leiva Emer continues the Rama. If the borrower claims and he says, well, Yeshavali Shalei Parata Beito, well, let him first swear to me that I didn't pay him up, and then he'll let him collect. Then Mashbim Moisabim Nikitas Chavitz, we make him take an oath holding a holy object, Shalei Paro Klum, that he didn't pay him anything, or Shalei Paro Elekach Vakach, or he only paid him such and such, Barakar Hito, and then he can collect the rest. Now, but if the lender was a Talmudic scholar, we don't address ourselves to his oath, meaning to make him swear according to the request of the borrower, because then it looks like as if he's suspected that as if he's collecting with a paid-up document. Now, at the same time, he can't collect. Therefore, if he grabs what's owed to him, we don't take it away from him. Or if he on his own is willing to swear, then we let him go ahead and swear, but we don't force him in this situation. Halacha Gimel, regarding the thrust and the power of a document. So, if the lender produces on the borrower a validated document that's already been authenticated, it's witnesses in the court, now the borrower claims and he says, I know it looks like that it's been already authenticated in the courts and all that. It's a forged document. I never had borrowed that this document should be written like this. Or he claims that this debt was a forbidden a loan where it was on interest or some type of a related rabbinic interest. Or he claims that this document was given on faith, meaning to say that he gave it to him that in case I need to, you already have the document. Or he says, I had it written to borrow, but I never borrowed, and rather it fell from me. It really wasn't by the lender. Which culture of the rule of it is like this. He's making a claim, Shem Hoy Debal Ashtar, that if the producer of the document would agree to his claim, the document would be void. But the lender is standing by his document. He's saying, this guy's claiming falsehoods. So the borrower says, let him swear to me and then let him collect. So reason machlik is in this case, actually, a disagreement amongst the ge'inim, that yesh mi shahira, there are those who rule, that the one who's producing the document has to take like that of a biblical oath holding a holy object. Just like the previous case that we mentioned, when he claims that he paid him up, then we make him swear. But for Rabbi Sehayru, my teachers have ruled that the lender does not swear only in the case of when he makes a claim against him saying, well, I paid it up already. The reason for that is, he admits to the document. Now, the thing is that a document about being paid up is a bona fide claim, which, yeah, that's what it is. A document is true, I owe you, but it's meant to be paid up, and I'm saying I paid up. So we make the lender take an oath. Aval kolei lo hata'anas, but all these claims that we mentioned, loikolei menu levatzo shtamakoyim, you can't say it's forged. It's not. He has no ability to invalidate a validated document. Elishalim rather has to pay. Then subsequently, he can make a claim against the lender in court, whatever he wants to, where if the lender admits that it was forged, then obviously he'll have to give him back the money. But if he denies it, he'll make a rabbinic oath. And says Rambam, and like my teachers, that's how my opinion is inclined also, that he wouldn't have to swear on these claims, only in the claim of Perati. Where Shem Yoida, like we said, that if he, that it's only specifically by this case. Halacha Dalet, Hamoit Bab that of Perati. If someone produces a document of debt against his friend, Malva Oimer, the lender says, yeah, lo nefrati klum, this guy owes me the whole balance. He didn't pay me anything. But Leiva Oimer, the borrower says, no, perati mechsa, I already paid you half. Now, we actually have witnesses who actually, after the borrower admitted to half, then witnesses come along and say that he paid up the whole thing. So in this situation, nishba ha-leiva, that actually the borrower has to swear that he paid up half, and Benoist Mechs will have to give the other half. Why is that? Should he hide the Bemixis? He admitted to part of it, and when the litigant admits, it's like 100 witnesses saying what he's saying is true, because he's admitting his own. And the Ainika Mejav Aveda, it's not like what's called the case of returning a lost object, which we don't make a person swear to the claim that it's in because I didn't have to return it, like a lost object, I could have just left it. No. If he would say, which that's what the Rambam's addressing, why isn't it considered Mesha Beda? Because had he said, I paid up everything, he would have been believed because he has witnesses who say he paid up the whole thing. No, because he has the fear of the document on him. Meaning, when he was making the admission, that was before the witnesses came. He was concerned that maybe the witness is actually going to incriminate him. So therefore, he admitted to part of it. So because he admitted to part, he has to pay that and he has to swear on the half that he is denying. Now, but Ve'ina Malva Gev HaMechza, but the lender cannot collect that half that he has to pay only from available assets that the borrower himself has, but not from nechasim mishabadim, not from that which he sold off to others. Could the buyers of the borrower could say, we're relying on the witnesses, and they said it was paid up, and they made this document null and void, and we can rely on them. We don't care that he admitted that's for his own loss, and therefore he cannot collect from nechasim mishabadim. Halacha continues regarding what happens with a document that loses its powers. So, let's say he produces a document of debt, where he cannot validate it, where he cannot find witnesses now to authenticate the document. Vama Levin, the borrower, says, it's true that I wrote this document. I'll put it out, but I paid it up already. Or this was only given on faith for when I would need to borrow. Or I wrote it to borrow. Yes, I wrote it, but I didn't borrow yet. All these types of claims. So here, since had he wanted, he could have said that this never happened because there's no witnesses who would authenticate this. This guy, it's only on his word that it's validated because he's admitting to that. So therefore, that's what's called Pesha Asu, which is Pesha Hitte. He's making it problematic for himself, but he's then undoing that. So he's believed, Yeshua has to be part and can make a rabbinic oath for the claim and he'll exempt himself. Now, but Vimkima Hamalva Achach Bevesn, if subsequent lender does get it authenticated through witnesses in the court, then Hariyu Kashar Shtas, then it's like all other documents, and he can collect with it. Now it's not based on the admission of the borrower to be able to then invalidate it. Halacha Vav, Haitzalav Shtar Makuim, if let's say the lender produces a validated document, Vama Levit, but the borrower says, Mezuyifu, it's a forgery, I never wrote such a document. Or Shtar Manahu, yeah, we only give it on faith, and there was really never a loan. Vama Malva, the lender says, Kenadvam, it's true what you're saying. Avashtar kosher haigli vavid, but I did have a valid document, which was not forged, but that was lost. And therefore I went and I wrote a new one and forged it. So Avabisha Malva Hushashabeshtar, although it's the lender himself who is breaking his document, Vilu Ratzama, and had he wanted to, he could have said, Enyamzov is not forgery, because this document was so to speak, authenticated in court, doesn't make a difference. Any good but klum. He's not going to be able to collect anything. Why? Ella nishba levi hasis v'nifta. Rather, the borrower swears a rabbinic oath to say he doesn't owe it and he's exempt. Because this document is considered like a piece, like an earthenware shard. Because what are you going to say? We should believe him because ultimately that he has over here a debt that's owed to him that he should be able to collect. Because if he wanted, he could have said that it wasn't mezuyif. That's what's called a migula hoitzi. That's a claim that I could have said something better to collect. Migula hoitzi lamina, says the Gemara. We cannot say a claim to collect. It's only to defend yourself. And therefore, he can't collect with this a forged document that he's admitting to. Even though he didn't have to say that. Halacha Zayin, Shtar Shalava by Pradoi. Regarding a document that there was a loan that was borrowed on it, Upradoi, and it was paid up. Eina Chayzav Alayv, but you cannot go ahead. Now, the guy lent him $100, wrote a document. Okay, paid it back. Now he's like, 2 days later, he's like, oh, I want to borrow $100. You cannot go and borrow based on that document anymore. Because Shekvar Nimchal Shibudai, in the document, it creates a lien on the person's property for the collateral to be collected from. And that's hardened already when it's paid up. And Manasseh Kechez becomes like an earthenware shard. You cannot reactivate it. It was already utilized, and you would have to write a new document. Now, so if someone produces a document of debt again, that was authenticated on his friend, and the borrower says, wait a minute, I paid you up already. The lender says, yes, Kenha, you paid me up. But I went back, and then I gave you back the monies. Then I lent it to you a second time. So of course you paid me back, but I lent it to you a second time. So the document that was paid up the first time becomes invalidated, but it keches like an earthenware shard. So you can't use it for the second time. But let's say he tells him, wait a second. It wasn't a second loan. I give you back the money because they weren't good monies. Until you'll switch it and you give me back good monies. Oh, then that does not invalidate the document. But then the original lien still applies because it's not that it was a second loan. The first payment was not a valid payment. Halacha test continues regarding if he makes a claim that he paid him, but it was for some other debt. So Haitilev Shtar Makuim Shishle Love Manda. Let's say he produced on him a validated, authenticated document that he owes him 100 dinar. Vamala Halev, and the borrower says, I look for Tichab of Nipplain. I paid you up in front of this guy and that guy. And yeah, those two witnesses come along and they testify that he paid him up. But they don't mention anything about the document. The lender says, yes, of course you paid me up. That was for a different debt that you owed me. Doesn't make a difference. The document is still going to be void because since there are witnesses that testified that he paid him without specifying, he's not believed to claim, oh, that was for some other debt. Now, but then when we say this, that it invalidates the document, is as long as those two people testify that when he gave him the money, it was in the form of a payment. But let's say they just saw that he gave money, but they don't know was it for a payment, was for a deposit, was for a gift. If the one who's producing the document says that this never happened, well then, obviously he's established as a liar and it nullifies the document because we have witnesses who saw that the story happened. But if he says, yes, it's true what the witness is saying. You gave me money, but it was for some other debt, and then he's believed. And then he could swear and take what's written in the document. He didn't pay him in front of witnesses because the witnesses don't know that the money was given for a payment of a debt. So since he could say, this is called a migui, matanin suddenly, yeah, of course you gave me, but it was for a gift. Then is believed to say that it was a payment for some other debt. Now, let's say, however, the borrower tells him, now, this document that you have against me is dimei shar shlekachti mimchahu. You know what it's for? And we're in agreement for this. That what happened was I bought an ox from you. I didn't have money to pay you. So we made it like a document as a loan that I owe you $1,000 for whatever the value of the ox was. Now, you were in my store and why did I buy the ox from you? I sell meat. And you collected the amount of meat of the amount of that ox. And the witnesses are testifying that yes, he had collected that amount of money in meat from that ox. So, now the owner of the document is saying, he says, Ken, yes, anigavisi as damal, I collected the monies, michoiv acher, but that was for some other debt that I had by you. In this case, Since he himself admits that the value of the ox is what the debt is for. And at the same time, he collected from the value of that ox in the meat store. And that's what he gave paid off for. But that's going to invalidate the document. Because even though there's no witnesses that he paid him up from the monies, the borrower swears or bending oath that he paid him up, because ultimately admitting, and it doesn't make sense that it was for something else when this was the actual thing that the document is for, and this is where you collected from, it makes sense that it's for this and not for some other debt. Halacha Yud continues regarding a situation where if he cannot swear, then he has to pay. So, let's say he produces against him a document of debt with one witness, meaning there's one witness that signed on the document. And the borrower claims, but out there, paid it up. So he's obligated to take an oath. But the thing is, but he cannot swear because he agrees with what the single witness is testifying, which is the primary loan. He's just claiming that he paid it up. So that's not helping regarding the claim of the single witness. You have a chiv shvu in this eid echad. But I'm admitting to that, so I can't swear. But there is an obligation of an oath. So since he's obligated, so Mishami has to pay up. Now, Tom Mama, let's say he claims and he says, okay, but let him swear to me that I didn't pay him up. Okay, but then the lender has to swear. Because even if there's two witnesses on the document and he said, let him swear to me that I didn't pay him up, he would have to swear, like we already explained this in Allah Habez, and therefore, for sure, over here, when there's Eid Echad, even though he would have to pay, but he could. Flip it and make the lender take an oath. Alachid alf. V'chein hoy rabbi says, so to my teachers ruled. Sha'kayfer b'milva al peh. Someone denies an oral loan, bevezdin, in the courts. Uva eirecha chalav, and now a single witness comes along and says that he took the loan. Harizze yishavish, he has to take a biblical oath because of the eirecha. Now chazav amar, and let's say he says, oh, kein hoya, it's true. Lavisi, I did borrow, but a pirati, but I paid it up. Oy machali, or pardon me. Oy nischayv le makamacho, or he owes me. The lender owes me from somewhere else. I don't owe him anything. He's mechayv shvur, but he's obligated an oath because of the eidechad. But the enyoch lejoy cannot make the oath because he's not denying what the eidechad is saying, but he's denying from somewhere else. So therefore, mishalim. Therefore, he has to go ahead and pay him up. Which, since the way the rabbi explains is, since he's saying I didn't borrow, it's like as if he's saying I didn't pay, and when he subsequently says that he did borrow. So he can't back out from his first admission that he didn't pay. So if he's not being refuted by Eid Echad, so then he can subsequently claim that I borrowed and I paid, and I believe with that I could have remained with my first claim that I didn't borrow at all. But in this case, with the Eid Echad, therefore, he would have to pay. Halacha Beis continues regarding when the borrower doesn't have money. Misha Toyin Shapar Ashtar. If someone claims that he paid up the document, Vamani says, Yeshav HaMal Vavito. Okay, but let the lender swear and let him collect. So Emily, they tell him, no, first have him ma'isa. First bring your monies. And then he's going to swear and he's going to collect. Because why should we make the lender swear if the borrower doesn't have money to pay it up? Now, if he actually doesn't have money to pay up, first we make him take the Ga'inim instituted an oath that he doesn't have. And then when he ultimately does get money, then he'll give it to his creditor. And then, in other words, when he gets money, so then it's relevant, then the lender's going to have to swear that he didn't get paid up. And then he'll give it to the lender. Halacha Gimel continues with, what happens if the lender doesn't have a document? So someone had a debt on his friend and a document. But he lost the document. But the witnesses are still around. So even though that he made a kinyan from him, in other words, a kinyan, an acquisition by itself, is considered like a document because, as we said this in Perek Yud Aleph, generally when there's a kinyan on this transaction, it's ready to be written down. So even though they made a kinyan from him, but he's claiming that he paid it up, he's a nishbehesis. He takes the rabbinic oath. Because since the document is not in the hand of a lender, we are concerned that maybe he paid it up. So even though it's like there was a document, but since the document's not here, maybe he paid it up. And therefore, he just takes the rabbinic oath and exempts himself. Now, V'hoyd Rabbi Yisai, says the Rambam, my teachers ruled. Shafilo hayachiv lezman. And this is even if the debt was for a certain time. V'adam l'giz malam perein. It's not even yet time to get paid up, which we mentioned this in Perek Yud Aleph and previously, that there's a chazaka that a person doesn't pay up before this man. But since they wrote in the document, and we all know that, maybe Adishani doesn't have the document, and the bar is saying, I did pay it up, so Neman, he's going to be believed. And he's going to take a rabbinic oath that he paid him up. Because we are concerned that maybe he paid him up, even though it's within this man. And that's why it's not him, because he tore it or he burnt it. And that helps him for his claim, and therefore we believe him. My teachers ruled that even if someone else is producing the document because he found it, the borrower is claiming, it fell from me after I paid it up. That's why you found it. Even though it's within the time of, it's not even due yet the loan, he could take a rabbinic oath and it'll be exempt. Because as long as the document is not in the hand of the lender, there's no presumption anymore that he didn't pay it up in this time, and therefore he's going to be able to off the hook with taking a rabbinic oath. Two people, the lender and the borrower, are both holding on to the document. The lender is claiming, Shalihu, it's mine. The reason why it's out of here is because I brought out Lipoda by Mimeka to go ahead and to collect from you, and it fell from me, and you just grabbed it. I'm at the bar saying, no, Pradativ, I paid up, a minute, it fell from me, and you're grabbing a hold of it. So, Im Hoyashtar Shayochalakaima, if there's a document which could be authenticated with witnesses, so it's a valid document. So, Zenish Beshein Labadam Elapachs Mechatzim, so he swears that he doesn't have in the value of this document less than half. And the other one swears that he doesn't have in his monetary value less than half, meaning each one is swearing that at least half, which is because they can't both have the whole thing, can't be that you didn't pay and you did pay. So each one swears regarding half, at least half. So it's like 50-50, we like divided, and the bar then pays half. Now, if it cannot be authenticated, then all the bar does is he takes a rabbinic oath that he paid him up and he's left off the hook, which is just like the claim, whenever he says I paid up, by any document that cannot be authenticated, even if it's totally by the lender, where he's off the hook then. Someone says to his friend, there's 100 dinarim that you owe me. And the borrower says, you have nothing by me. Shammai says, I paid you up. And the claimant says, he shavali hasis. I want you to make a rabbinic oath for me, because that's what if I call you, you're totally denying the claim. So the defendant says, what do you mean? You have a document against me. And you know what you want to do? You want to first make me take an oath for nothing. And then you're going to go and take out the document which was already paid up. I mean, he's not denying his original claim when he says, you don't have anything by me. He's just explaining. His intent is that what do I mean when that you have nothing by me? Because I paid you up. Because can mean two things. Either he's denying the loan or I paid you up. So, you want me to swear now, and then you're going to produce a document that really was already paid up, particularly when they collect with it? So we tell the lender, Havei Ashtar, you have to bring the document. The lender says, Ein li shtar alav me'olam. No, I never had a document against him. I had a document, got lost. So says the Rambam, Hoy Rabbeis, my teacher's rule, we tell the lender, first you have to battle kol shtar shesh l'cho kodem zman hazeh, so then you have to nullify and void any document that you had before this date. So then you're not going to have the claim that the borrower is saying that you can then produce the document afterwards. And then you can make him take a rabbinic oath. Or what you could do is something less than that, is just take a generic cherim against anyone who's lying in the situation. And then you can go and seek until you find the document. But again, we have to respect the claim of the borrower that you have this document and you're just making him swear and then you're going to come with that afterwards. So therefore he has to either first nullify documentations and then make him swear, or do a cherem and not nullify until he does find the shtar that he has.